The EU and the UK lock horns over meat trade. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a bid to avoid a trade war over sausages, officials from the European Union and the British government will meet later today to resolve differences over how the two continue to trade post-Brexit. The EU wants checks to be done on some goods as they move into Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK. But the British government say products like chilled meat should be allowed to move freely within its own borders. The BBC's Nick Beak has more.
Vice President Maros Šefčovič, who will lead for the European Commission in this latest round of prickly discussions with the UK, has threatened swift and firm action if the British government fails to keep its legal obligations as he sees it. Lord Frost, the Brexit minister, argues the EU's application of the protocol is overzealous and is both damaging Northern Ireland businesses and threatening its supply of food and medicines. He says the shared focus must be on safeguarding the Good Friday Agreement and protecting the peace process.
That was Nick Beak. Aidan Connolly is chair of the Northern Ireland Business Brexit Working Group and director of the Northern Ireland Retail Consortium. He told the BBC that an immediate solution and compromise is needed.
What we're saying to the EU and to the UK very clearly is it's wonderful that you're talking to us, but now we need solutions delivered to show that our faith and our hard work has been warranted. We need to decompress the growing angst that's happening here in Northern Ireland. It's up to the EU and the UK. There's a light in front of us. It's either a train of pain coming or it's the light at the end of the tunnel. It's up to them to decide.
That was Aidan Connolly. We should hear more about the sausage showdown, as they're calling it, in a few hours' time. Let's check in with the markets. The price of goods leaving China's factories has risen at its fastest pace since the financial crisis. China's producer price index added 9%. Now, if you're drawing up vacation plans after the announcement yesterday that Americans can now travel to some countries, the slick coastline and sunny vineyards of France might be on your mind. Well, the French government are going ahead with easing restrictions as of today, with restaurants, cafes and bars welcoming customers inside their premises for the first time in nearly 7 months. Tables are limited to 6 people and a curfew of 11 p.m. will be in place, but locals are ready to enjoy the summer, according to the BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris.
Interiors of bars and restaurants can open up now. It's just been on the street. That's a big relief, of course, to the restaurant and cafe trade. Then there are other things as well. For example, gyms, sports halls, swimming pools are going to open. There are new rules on how many people can go into cinemas. That number is going to increase. The curfew, that's the other big one. That's going to now move from 9 o'clock in the evening to 11 o'clock in the evening when it kicks in. And the next step will be at the end of this month when, in theory, the curfew will disappear completely. And everything should be opening pretty much as normal, apart from some things like discotheques.
How do you think people are feeling about emerging from this lockdown, though? Is there a sense of concern, or are people quite willing to get out there and get the economy going again?
There's a great sense of relief. Everyone wants to have a normal, happy summer and get out there, spend the money that many people have saved and enjoy themselves in France. Everything we hope has changed with the vaccination programme, which is now progressing well in France. And even though everyone criticised France and other European countries for being so far behind Britain, ultimately they're, you know, a few weeks behind, but they're on target to have 30 million first doses by the middle of this month. And it shouldn't be before August, before, you know, the vast majority of the adult population has been vaccinated.
And are businesses opening their doors as well to foreign visitors? Because we are hearing more about travel restrictions being eased as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other big change today. Here in France, much easier access from other European Union countries. If you're vaccinated, you show your double vaccination certificate and you can come in advance of the tourist season proper beginning in, say, mid-July. There will be much more ease of movement among EU countries. From the UK, it's slightly more complicated, and America too, because they're on a kind of amber list. Even if you're vaccinated, you still have to have a negative test from 72 hours before arriving. But even there, the possibility is becoming much more real for people to move about.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield in Paris. Thanks.
Thank you.
The casino company Las Vegas Sands is facing a lawsuit in Macau from a Taiwanese business partner it allegedly jilted 20 years ago, claiming $12 billion in damages. With the details, here's the BBC's Andrew Wood in Hong Kong.
Macau is the only place in China where it's legal to gamble, and it's where Las Vegas Sands makes most of its money. Sands applied for a gambling concession in the former Portuguese territory in 2001, jointly with the Asian American group from Taiwan. But it changed partners and won the bid in conjunction with a Hong Kong firm instead. Asian American alleges Sands broke their contract. Sands says it didn't. The US courts threw out the case more than a decade ago, and so Asian American filed the lawsuit in Macau. It wants 70% of Sands' profits in Macau from 2004 to 2022. A judge should finally hear the case next week. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Andrew Wood for Marketplace.
So China's recovery from the first wave of the coronavirus has been quick and sustained. Consumer confidence has returned, so much so that a key area of the vast online shopping market, live stream selling, is expected to double this year in value to around $280 billion. That's a lot. It's even becoming a serious career choice for some Chinese youth. BBC's Robin Brandt went to the city of Yiwu, where thousands of hopefuls go to learn techniques.
We are super live streamers, they chant. I am the master of selling, she shouts. In a hotel in a city in the east of China, hundreds of young hopefuls have gathered to learn the art, if you could call it that, of selling. 2021 style. Live streaming is selling online, usually on live channels on social media platforms. One person shows the goods, waxes lyrical about them, and the people watching on their smartphone somewhere buy, maybe. Away from the selling, the chanting and the shouting is a 16-year-old who's just starting out. With the studio lights switched on, Xiao Yu has a plan, and she said her parents' support as well. It starts with practicing in this small 8th-floor studio, a teacher by her side, pretending to sell snacks.
I'm scared. It's true that those popular live streamers are either very good-looking or they're having something special. I'm not sure if I can succeed or not, as I'm just average.
This is an industry that's easy to get into.
What's your name?
Robin, Bai Robin.
Bai Robin, is
that? Anyone can try. That's me, in a small office, joining a live stream seller in front of the cameras as he tries to shift some very spicy dried meat. Hundreds of thousands here are doing it daily, but succeeding, selling lots, actually making money, now that's hard. But the man whose live stream I crashed, Chan Yu, told me his secret.
The Chinese prefer this kind of rubbernecking. They like to watch other people's live broadcast rooms. For me, there's nothing I couldn't sell.
That golden rule of selling is being passed on to Xiao Yu. She may be just 16, but she already knows that selling online here in China is ruthlessly competitive. Her name in English means little fish. She'll be swimming in vast, but you might say sometimes shallow waters. In Yiwu, I'm the BBC's Robin Brandt for Marketplace.
Those are some seriously rich live streamers. Maybe it could be a second career. I'll keep you posted. In London, I'm Vishal Sripathma with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.